Hello and welcome. I am Nelson Fernandez and I am going to talk to you about international business environment. I am going to take you to a journey where we understand the different concepts that are used in international business, how business is done internationally, and what are the various factors that encounter, or what are the various problems, or what are the various solutions, or what are the various advantages that we have in this when we talk about international business. Now, in this first chapter, what we're going to talk about, we're going to talk about basically the concepts of international business environment. In this, what are the learning objectives? We're going to talk about, we're going to understand the basic concepts and the nature of international business. We're going to know about the importance of international business. We're going to learn about various factors that drive international business. And you'll be able to describe the consequences of international business. We'll also know about the various ways of how international business is done. So let's begin. Now here is a classic case. There's a German footwear maker who wants to shift his production from China to India. Now I'll request you to please read the textbook properly where this case study is concerned, why he wants to shift it. Because the manufacturer, what we are talking about, is not a small manufacturer. He has manufacturing units, around 18 manufacturing units located around in 12 more countries. But then now he wants to shift the production from China to India. And mostly the production facility may go somewhere in UP. So why does he want to shift it? So we'll learn through this class of why he wants to do this. Let's begin. Now here is a basic introduction to international business. Now business performance depends greatly, in great measure, to their understanding of domestic, international and foreign environment. Now any business which you talk about, normally you talk about business, when you talk about, maybe it can be a small scale business, maybe it can be limited to a domestic region, maybe it can be a national business, and sometimes then you decide that you want to go internationally. So business performance will depend on how and where you want to do your business. What is your scale of doing business? So you can do it locally, you can do it domestically within the country, or you can do it globally, which is internationally. Now international business is much more complex in nature due to the involvement of different locations. Now what we are talking about is not one place that we have one particular gala in some place where we have an office and we have a manufacturing small facility there, or we are just doing trading over there in that small facility. We are talking about a large scale business which is very complex in nature, because there are involvements of various countries, various locations, various languages, various people. So basically international business is much complex in nature due to the involvement of different locations which have their own characteristics by itself. Now I would like to give you another example also which is in your book. Now what is international business? You are sitting in India, in Bombay or wherever in India, and what you have in hand? You are maybe using a phone made by Samsung, or maybe even an iPhone. Who is the manufacturer of those? But technically we know the company is based, Apple is based in USA. So a US manufacturer, US based company is manufacturing the products maybe in China or maybe in Malaysia or Indonesia, and they are sold in India. You are having the product in India. You take your laptops, HP laptops. Again, it's the same thing. They are assembled at a different location, the parts are made at a different location, and the user is at a different location. So basically we understand that everybody is, what are products you are using now is not basically a thing which is manufactured or which is made locally, or which the owner of the company or the brand is local. Most of the products, we have a global outreach. We are using products made from different locations by different brand owners. Indian organizations also like Tata's, Birla's, Infosys, Asian Paints, Ryan Baxi, these are just few names. There's a big list of names which you can find out who want to go globally and who are now doing business globally. Now international business will be recognized as a business activity across national boundaries. Now what do I mean by national boundaries? Now if you are here in India, your business expansion is beyond the boundaries of India. I'm not talking about only export or import, I'm talking about you having your own facilities, either manufacturing facilities abroad, or you having a sales offices abroad, and so on. Now, what does this include? This includes products and services in different locations across globe, which means it is not just restricted to a product, but it is also restricted to a service which you provide. Now, India has been phenomenal, made phenomenal growth where service is concerned, service sector export or service sector globalization is concerned. Production facilities at multiple locations, this is what I was talking about. Now, today, if you are based in Mumbai or you're based in anywhere in India and you have manufacturing facilities in India, in various states, apart from this, you're going to have manufacturing locations in various countries. Like suppose if you find that there's a labor cheap available in China, so maybe you start production facility in China and so on. Maybe raw material availability, that also may be another factor. So if you have anything which is available in a foreign location and you want to locate your manufacturing plant over there, it is possible now. So it can be a production facility at multiple locations. Human resources which drive diverse culture. Now this is also very important because you'll come across so many various cultures when you move across the globe. Knowledge transfer involving intellectual property. Now, knowledge transfer is also a key element where globalization or global companies or international business is concerned. Because there is a lot of things which you don't know by yourself, which you need to acquire from people. That's where intellectual property comes into picture. Now, international business involves interaction with countries that differ in terms of culture, legal, and political systems. Because no two countries have similar kind of functioning when you talk about culture, when you talk about the legal system in the country, or we talk about the political system in the country. Some countries may have a stable political system, some countries may have a disturbed political system, some places may have democratic system, some places you may have communism, and so on. So it will never be the same. So that's one of our challenge. Organizations may encounter the following type of four businesses risk. One, cross-culture risk, which we always spoke about. There's a lot of culture involved. People, different countries have different culture. There's a country risk. You don't know, every country has a different risk by itself. There are financial risk, which is related to your capital. And there is a commercial risk, which talks about your business by itself. Now, let's try to understand the importance of international business. Now, important aspects regarding international business are facilitate understanding about the global economy and interaction within various countries. Facilitate understanding about global economy and interaction within various countries. So it's very necessary for you to understand about the global economy, of how it is moving, of what are the factors that are driving it. Okay, which we'll also study some of the drivers ahead in the class. Contribute to national economy and its growth may result in improved standard of living. Now, many times what happens, you go to a different country or you want to have a multinational organization. Now, it contributes to various economies. Now, if Apple is making a product, manufacturing it in China and selling it in India, definitely both the economies are, there's something about both the economies which you need to understand. There's a manufacturing sector which is in China which is getting boost. With the sale in India, there's a distribution network which has been made, which is also getting a boost. And we know that there's a lot of the consumer is there to spend for such products. So you need to understand this also because it contributes to a lot of national economic growth. Achieve competitive edge to the organization by itself by incorporating due diligence. This includes understanding of culture, wide range of working experience, new areas of knowledge, and so on. Now, as a company starts expanding globally, it goes to different nations, it goes to different cultures, it acquires a lot of knowledge from there. It acquires a lot of systems from there because every country would have a different kind of system. Every country will have a different kind of working culture. Now, this is acquired, and when the company moves to a new country all these experiences which transferred over there. So you can definitely achieve a competitive edge, because now if you are going into a new country where you don't know, where you have never ventured earlier, now this will give you, this your experience in the past will give you a competitive edge to venture into that country. To become part of global corporate culture and to be a global citizen. Now the moment you get into international trade, you become automatically become a global citizen. And also you become a part of the global corporate culture. Like for example, when I talk about corporate culture, it is takes simple example of working hours. Now if you talk about working hours where some of the Far East countries are concerned, the working hours, office working hours are very different than what we have experienced in India. If you move to the West, the working hours is much, much lesser than what you compare with India. So basically, you become a part of the global corporate culture, where you know that everywhere different countries have different corporate culture. To impart global knowledge to yourself. Again, the point has come up is, again, when I'm moving to different countries, when I'm acquiring different countries, getting into different knowledges, getting into different sort of cultures, definitely I am going to acquire a lot of global knowledge for myself. This is going to be useful somewhere down the line when I venture into some new countries or some new territories. To have product knowledge, in our daily lives we use vehicles, dress, food, cosmetic, watches, mobile phones, etc. Or most of them which is provided by foreign countries, foreign companies. Now this is what the example I gave you, that you are sitting in India but you are using an iPhone which is technically made by Apple, which is a US based company, or maybe you're using a Samsung, which is made by a Korean company. Maybe it is not made in Korea, but maybe it is made somewhere other location. Now we have a lot of phone being manufactured in India itself. You are using a laptop, which is again, maybe most of the spare parts have come from abroad, some country which has made the spares, it has been assembled in India, and so on. To gain or acquire business management practices, essential to have operational knowledge of how to run business in complex international environment. Again, all the knowledge that you are acquiring, all the different the business knowledge from business experts in different countries that you are acquiring, all the different people that you are encountering, because everywhere you will have different workforce, different people who have different knowledges, different views of how to put things into practice. Now all this knowledge which is acquired is definitely is going to help, and you are going to have a big knowledge base which you will use somewhere in future. So this was regarding the importance of international business that we were talking about. Now let's try to understand the growth drivers behind international business. Now here we are talking about service exports. India has made phenomenal development, or phenomenal increase where service exports are concerned. Now this is basically what we are talking about the UNCTAD data between 2014 and 2019. We're talking about exports of services, which have increased basically in main service categories in Northern America, Europe, Asia, and Oceania. Asian exports also have grown particularly faster than the rest of the world. For example, in 2019, 68% of all international trade services were supplied by developed economies, which include all countries which are developed nations. In transport and travel, this share has been a bit lower. Now we'll try to understand this by way of a chart which will be able to clearly make out the difference what we are talking about. Now in the chart, if you see, these are the developing economies, the developing Africa, developing America, Asia, transitional economies, and developed economies. Now these are various heads which you see over here: transport, travel, insurance, telecommunication, and other categories. Now this is what we are talking about. The transport has not basically made a big development where transport is concerned or travel is concerned. But this sector, the insurance financial sector, has made drastic growth. Also, if you talk about the other categories, if you put together, there is a phenomenal growth where this sector is concerned. Okay. This is put summarized together. The whole data is summarized together for you to understand. These are the developing Africa, developing America, and developing Asia and Oceania. And these are the various codes which are given. The red indicator over here is the travel part. the blue indicate the transport part, and the insurance sector, this part is the insurance, financial, intellectual property and other business sector. So if you see, there has been substantial growth where services also have concern. Understanding these growth drivers, one, emergence of new market from developing economies and changes within the market attract large organizations to enter. Now, for example, we have been in India. Now, just understand the example of India. Everybody knew that India has a potential for a lot of cars. The automobiles industry in India has been flourishing, and there was a huge demand for this segment. Now, you'll find a lot of foreign companies have entered into India for developing this particular market. They have launched various models. Some of the models which were specifically launched for the Indian market, for the Indian roads. So this is what we are talking about, that in this case, a lot of foreign companies, a lot of car manufacturers have come to India because they found this business very lucrative. Saturation at the home country also prompts companies to enter into other market. Now, there is a limitation for what you can sell in a particular location. Like, for example, if you are selling some products over here, there's a limitation that people will buy that product from you. After some time, you'll find that you cannot sell anymore. The product reaches a saturation stage. Now, this is the time that you're going to venture into new markets. You're going to find new places to sell. We all remember that even the British came to India to sell their finished goods because their markets also were saturated at that point of time. So they came to India to sell their finished goods and to buy raw material. So if you see, saturation in the home market definitely will prompt you or any company to enter into new markets. Facilitation oriented. Now we are talking about facilitation oriented, institutional support from a wide range of institutions, like for example World Bank, any financial institutions, IMF. All these institutions are providing a lot of finance to a lot of companies to go to venture abroad. They're providing finance to a lot of countries to venture abroad with different new products. So the facilitation orientation also will help you. Cost orientation. Now definitely if you're doing business, you're going to do business for profits. And where profit is concerned, there will be cost concern always, which will be there. Now organizations are taking advantages of economies of scale by having low cost of manufacturing facilities located in other countries. Like for example, a lot of companies shifted their production base to China because the cost of labor was relatively lesser than what they have found in their countries. Now this happened mostly in the European countries or Western countries, where they found the labor cost was too high and they found the labor was available very cheaply in China. And they could then, that is why they shifted a lot of production from their bases in Europe to China and to take advantage of this cost orientation. Also, you have to understand large scale buying. When you have production situated at the central location, for example, if a company has production location in four or five various countries, now if they shift the location to particular one country or one particular location, they have an advantage of large scale buying. So it's also called as economies of scales. So when you buy in larger quantity, you can negotiate a better price, or you can negotiate a better purchase price, which is much, much lower than what you could get when you could buy smaller quantities. Political orientation. Now, emergence of regional trade blocs. You must have all heard of various trade blocs. We have the classic example where we have European Union, which is by itself a trade bloc. We have NAFTA, then we have ASEAN, which is in Asia, then we have BRIC, which is the new kid on the block, which consists of India also is an integral part of this. So all these various blocks also help in a lot of regional trade. Such block comprises of group of several nations into a single market and have presented firms with a significant marketing opportunity. Now, normally when you talk about these trade blocks, there is a relatively free movement of goods between these trade blocks. Each country signs a pact with each other for bilateral and collateral trade in which the product flow duty-free between these countries. Hence, a regional product growth automatically takes place. So you'll find in most of these blocks, there is a free flow of goods and services. resulting in a very in faster growth of that particular block. We also have technologically oriented growth drivers. Now, advances in various ICTs and computers has allowed more access for information within short time. Now, you don't need to, earlier getting information from anything was much difficult because internet was expensive. Getting an ISD call across was difficult. And if you had to meet a person in face-to-face, then you had to go personally there. But now we're talking about video conferences, we are talking about live chats, we are talking about even your WhatsApp calling, which is available now. And technology has made it possible at a much, much cheaper rate. Okay. So, and now again, we are talking about 5G, which is being rolled out. So things will be much faster with that 5G also. So technology also has played a very important role of phenomenal growth driver where international business is concerned. Because now, earlier you had to be dependent on phone calls and fax. Now we're talking about emails, you're talking about live calls, you're talking about video conferencing and so on. Competition oriented. Now, developed countries have framed their policies to attract more investment. The result of this rush to globalization has been an exponential growth in international business. Now, definitely competition is healthy. Whatever said and done, competition always is healthy because whenever there is a competition, there is a growth which is happening. Because the competitors are going to be trying to grow daily basis because they want to be ahead of the competitor. So wherever there is competition in international business, the business is going to grow, the overall international trade is going to grow. So basically putting it in a nutshell, organizations are participating in international business for following reasons. One, to seek opportunity for growth through to market diversification. Because you cannot grow after a particular point in a particular single market. So you have to venture out into different markets, into new locations, into new countries to grow. To gain new ideas about product services and business methods. Now again, same point, which when the company goes into different locations, different countries, different places, it definitely acquires a lot of new ideas. It also develops a lot of new products down the line or services down the line. And definitely it is going to learn a lot of things where the business method is concerned and it's going to grow in that factor also. Also to earn higher margins and profits. Now definitely if they say in business that to earn more profits, you either have to increase your sales or you have to lower your cost. So if your sales cannot grow, your margins or your profits will not grow. But at the same time, you also need to be controlling your cost. So international business has helped people to, on both the sides. It has helped people to upscale their sales. At the same time, it has helped people to lower on their cost. And hence the margins have been huge. Better serve key global customers. Now this is possible all because of technology. Now suppose when you talk about international payments now. Earlier payments were so restricted. Now payments can be done easily by anybody on their mobile phones sitting anywhere. So a person does not have to go to the bank to make a payment or to transfer it to make a payment. Now he can sit anywhere and he can make payment to their mobile phones. So this is help companies to sell their products more to consumers. And also serve, and companies are able to serve their customers more in different locations. To be closer to the supply source. Now, going international, as I said, some companies will decide about a manufacturing location depending on the source of or their supply source. Now, if the product is labor oriented, they're going to shift to countries which have cheap labor. If the raw material is available at a particular location and the raw material is very essential to them, then they are going to shift the location to a location where they will get cheap raw material and easily availability. So this is how they are going to move. Also, to gain access to lower cost or better value factors of production. Again, economies of scale, we talk about economies of scale. Also, some countries you will find some cost getting reduced due to the particular demographic location of that country or the climatic condition of that country. Now, if that is the case, then definitely there's going to be a low cost which they will have and they will be able to get better value from their productions. to confront international competition, to confront international competitions more effectively. Now, with all this experience, all this technology, all this knowledge that they're going to acquire, and with the knowledge and with the people that they have, so as a resource, they're going to definitely be able to confront international competitors much effectively. To invest in a potential rewarding relationship with a foreign partner. Now, many times it is not possible for you to directly venture into a particular company. That is where they can have a potential relationship with somebody, with some other country, with some other company, in forms of joint ventures or partnerships and so on. Then definitely these relationships are rewarding down the line. Thank you so much.